Okay. We are on Daf Tzadik Dalet Amud Aleph, about 8 lines down by the two dots, where it says Amar Rava. Today's Daf is, until we get to the bottom of Amud Beis, we started over here because this is a brand new topic. It has nothing to do with Masechet Pesachim, it has nothing to do really with anything. It's a lot of science. It's not easy. We'll try to do our best. There's one part that I just have a very difficult time understanding myself. We'll start. The Gemara yesterday had made a statement that it takes an average person, an average person can walk 10 parsa in one day. Which, and Rashi there said, and the Gemara assumes also that's 40 mil. Whatever that is, it's 40 mil. The average person can walk 10 parsa in one day. That's 40 mil. Based on that statement, Rava is going to pick up and talking about parsa, and based on the fact that a person can walk 10 parsa in one day, Rava is going to make the following observation. Amar Rava. Rava says, Shisa alfi parsa havi alma. According to Rashi, this line means that the arc of the sun is 6,000 parsa. Meaning, it takes 6,000 parsa for the sun to travel from one end of the horizon to the other end of the horizon. That's a very, very, very small number compared to the actual size of the world. And we'll get to that in a minute. And v'sumcha de rakia, the depth of the rakia, whatever that means, the depth of the rakia is alpha parsi, 1,000 parsa. So you have 6,000 parsa is the span of the globe, and the depth of the rakia is 1,000 parsa. Chada gemara, the fact that there's 6,000 parsa, that's a tradition. Rava, it's a tradition, and v'chada svara. And one of them is a svara. Once he knows that, he figured the other one out, Rashi explains, from a svara. Why? The 6,000 parsa, that's a gemara. It's a tradition. Can't question that. He has a tradition. We'll explain it in a minute. But where did he get the 1,000 from? Savar lo ki ha'da'am Rabba Bar Bar Chana. He holds, like what Rabba Bar Bar Chana said, that Amar Rabbi Yochanan, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan yesterday, kama mahalich adam beni b'yom, how long can the average person travel in one day? Yud parsos, 10 parsa. Malo, me'alos ha'shachar v'ed neitzachama, from alos till neitz, from dawn till sunrise, is heimilid, 5 mil. Mishkiyas ha'chama, from shkia, ad teit ha'kochavim, is chamisha milin, another 5 milin. Right, Shkiyas ha'chama is when the sun begins to set, and Tzeis is when it actually sets. That's 5 milin. Now, the Gemara assumes, Rashi explains, that that's when the Rakia is prominent. So therefore, Nimzid comes out, Ovi of Shel Rakia, that the thickness of the Rakia is Echad Mishisha Biyom, 1/6 of the day. Why? 5 of 30. There are 30 left. There's 30 left. There are 40 mil. Take away the 5 in the morning and the 5 in the afternoon, you're left with 30. The average, taking aside the morning and the night, you have 30. 5 of that is the length of Shkia to Tzeis. That's 5 out of 30 is 1/6. So if the world is 6,000, the Rakia must be 1,000. That's what Rava says. Now we're going to bring about 4 or 5, reasons why Rava is wrong. Now, the Maharal says that this is not a physical, the whole thing Rava is saying is not physical anyway. Rava didn't mean to say anything physical, he meant to say something spiritual. Why? Because the number 6, the Maharal explains, is a number of wholeness, of completeness. Because every item in the world has six sides to it. Right? There are the 4 sides and above it and below it. Take a box. You have all 4 sides on top and on bottom. So 6 represents wholeness. The Rava was saying, just like there's wholeness in the physical world, so too there's some kind of, whatever that means, a wholeness in the spiritual world. And just like Shabbos is one out of 6 days where there's specialness, a physical, real, a spirituality that we can see every week, so too the Rakia, whatever this means, in some kind of spiritual way, the Rakia is 1/6 of this spiritual specialness, whatever that means. But I saw an unbelievable Reb Tzadik. He says there's a Gemara somewhere in Chulin that says that the span of a Malach is 2,000 parsa. What does that mean? The Malach is 2,000 parsa long. So he says when the three Malachim came to Avraham to visit him after we had the Bris Milah, the Medrash says one of them looked like an Arab, like a Yishmaeli, one of them looked like a baker, and one of them looked like a shipmaker. He says, what are those three? So he says, those three represent, the bottom Tosvos alludes to it in a different context, that the Gemara says somewhere else that there are three parts of the world. There's the desert, there's the oceans, and there's the inhabited land. So those three malachim represented those three parts of the world. There was a Yishmaeli representing the Arabia, the desert. There was a shipmaker representing the water. And there was a baker representing land. You have to eat. So that's 6,000. Because each malach takes up 2,000 parsa of space. So you have three of them at 6,000 parsa of space. And the malachim were telling Avraham, you're going to one day, your children are one day going to have it all. B'schus, b'smila, b'schus the Torah, you're going to be able to get it the whole, you're going to have the whole world one day. And that's what Rav is alluding to. 6,000 parsa is the span of the world, meaning that the Jews are going to one day have the whole world. That's all spirituality, that's all very nice, but the Gemara is going to now question this on a practical, spatial, physical level and say that it's not true. It just can't be true that the world is so small. And this gets into the whole discussion about science and what they knew, and they're going to say things now that are very, very difficult to understand, even just to translate the words. And at every line, someone says, oh, this doesn't mean physical, this means spiritual. But even on a physical level, it's just very difficult, Gemara. We'll tell. So the first question that the Gemara says is, Meshvei. The statement before, which Rav based his shot on, was that the day is divided to 10 parsa, which is 40 mil, 5 mil in the morning, 5 mil at night, you're left with 30. Meshvei. That's a problem. You know why? Rabbi Huda Omer, because Rabbi Huda says, Ovov shel rakia, the thickness of the rakia is not 1/6. Rather, it's echad me'asar biyom, it's 1/10. Where do you get that from? Teda, you know how I know that? Because kam mahalich adam beni bayom, how long does it take a person to walk by day? Eser parsos, 10 parsa. Nobody argues on that. Everybody agrees it takes 10 parsa to walk during the day. Now, but he argues on everything else. He says, Melosa shacha verde tzachama, from dawn to sunrise, is arbas milin, 4 mil. And, Mishkiya tzachama verde tzachachavim, from shkia to tzeis, the night portion, is also arbas milin, also 4 mil. Nem tzeis, it comes out. Now, so what are you left with? You're left with 32. However, he's going to hold that the oviv shel rakia achas me'asar b'yom, that the thickness of the rakia is 1/10. Why? Because he's going to measure the portion of tzeis from shkia to tzeis, which is 4. He's going to measure that against the entire 40, against the whole day from all the way to the beginning of the morning till late at night. So you have 4/40 is 1/10, and that's a tana. So therefore, tiyufta derava, tiyufta. Rav is wrong. Rav couldn't have said that the world is one, that the rakia is 1/6. Rav is wrong. Now he doesn't mention anything about parsa. But Rav's proportions are all wrong. Now, the Gemara says, Tiyufta du'ula. Let's say this is also a problem with Ula. Du'ula. It's a problem with Ula. Because yesterday Ula said that you take away... yesterday Ula had said that there's 32... That there's 30 parsa in between. Because... Same thing as Rav, exactly. That he just took it one step further. That if you have 30... If the average day is 40 mil, take away 5, you're left with 30. Here, you see you're left with 32. Because you're taking away 8 from the 4 from the morning and 4 from the night. You're left with 32 in daylight. And Ula said you're left with 30. So the Gemara says, Tiyufta, you're right. Ula's also wrong. Now the Gemara says, Lei metahavet tiyufta de Rabbi Yochanan. Let's say this is also a problem with Rabbi Yochanan, who said that the average span of a day is 10 parsa. So the Gemara says, no, he's okay. Amalach, no. Anabi Yamamahu da Amri. I said that the average day is 10 parsa. No one has a problem with that. That stands. But Virabbanhu de Katoi, Rava and Ula are the ones that made a mistake with that. De Kacheshvan de Kadma, they took into their account people getting up extra early to go start walking. So they made a mistake. The Chushka, and they also counted people that are continuing to walk after it gets dark. You gotta stop. So the 10 parsa doesn't change. Everyone agrees to that. But they took it and made wrong cheshbonos from that 10 parsa. So now the Gemara says, Lamer to have it to Rabbi Chanina. Maybe this is also a problem with Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi Chanina said yesterday that the distance between Sodom and Tsoar was 5 mil. And that's the same distance as Alos to Nates. And now you see that it's only 4 mil. Right? So the Gemara answers, no, lo, it's different over there. You know why? Because vaya itu shiny. The Malachim were rushing Lot. They were rushing him. So we don't know how far the distance was. It could be much longer. But they were able to do it in 4 mil. To be able to walk, we're talking about normal walking, it takes 4 mil. If you're walking faster, you can obviously cover more ground. So Lot was being rushed by the Malachim. And therefore, that's not a question. As a matter of fact, some say, we had this in Masechta Shabbos on Daf Yud, that when it says over there, that Tsoar, the city was Karov to Sodom. And the Gemara says it doesn't mean it was close by. The word Karov there doesn't mean close by. It means it was newer. So they had less time to do Averos. That's what it means, close. It means newer. Right, because, and then he says, this is a raya. We don't know how far away it could have been. They were rushing, so we don't know how far it was. But it was newer. So Lot said, let me stay here. Because this is less Averus in this city. So that fits into that. This Gemara that we just read, even though it's said in passing, this is the second place in the entire Shas where the whole issue of Beit HaShemashos and Shkia comes up. It came up in Masechta Shabbos on Daf Lama Dalet, and it comes up here again. Here, Rabbi Yehuda said that the distance of Bein HaShemashos to Tseis is 4 mil. And the Middle Tosos points this out. In Masechta Shabbos, the same Rabbi Yehuda said that it's 3/4 of a mil. Same person. And apparently we hold like that. So, how do you reconcile the fact that in one place he says that the distance, the time span from Shkia to Tseis is 3/4 of a mil, and here he says it's 4 mil. So that's a huge machlokas, basically between Rabbeinu Tam and the Gaonim. The Gaonim held that Rabbi Yehuda changed his mind. Here he said 4 mil. Here he said it isn't a 4 mil, but he changed his mind. And in Shabbat he said it's 3/4 of a mil. And that's how he held, and that's how we hold. And Rabbeinu Tam said something much more complicated, much more complex. And they said basically there's two Shkias. There's a Shkia 1, which starts at a certain point. It lasts for an entire 4 mil. The last 3/4 of that mil, the last 3/4 of those 4 mil, that's when Shkia is, with the twilight, we don't know if it's day or night. That's what they held. How does that break down? We had this chart that we prepared for Shabbos. I'll just go over very quickly. So let's just assume, there's also a machlokes, how long a mil is. How long is a mil? But we assume, I think the Mechaber Paskins this way, standard mil is 18 minutes. It takes a person an average of 18 minutes to walk 1 mil. So a standard mil we're going to assume is 18 minutes. So just for our argument's sake, I just picked arbitrarily. Let's say Hadlakas Neiros is at 8:03. 8:03. I just picked that number out of the blue. That means that at Shkia, the first Shkia will begin 20 minutes later at 8:23. Now, at 8:23, according to the Gaonim, 8:23, that's when Shkia begins. And at 8:36 and a half, it's fully night. That means that if on a Friday you're going to light candles at 8:03, by 8:36 and a half on Saturday, Shabbos is over. Because it's fully Tzeis. Shabbos is over. Now, nobody holds like that today. Nobody. Right, that's a very, very early. Think about it. You light a candle at 8:03. Mincha, let's say, will be 8:15 on Friday afternoon, right? And then Saturday at 8:36, Shabbos is over. According to the Rabbeinu Tam, if you hold that a mil is 18 minutes, so if you light candles at 8:23, Shabbos is not over till 9:35. Where do you get that from? Because Shkia number one doesn't begin till 8:23. That lasts for 72 minutes, because it's 4 times 18. That lasts for 72 minutes. Till 9:21 and a half, it's certainly day. There's no shiloh that it's day. There's no suffix, there's no question. Then, from 921 till 935, that last 3/4 of a mil, that's the suffix. Now, today, in America, you won't have that either. On a Friday afternoon, if Hadlak HaZneiros is 8:03, nobody will do malacha, nobody will drive around in a car before 921. It's unheard of. I know you hear these stories that in Europe they used to hold at the beginning of the time, they would. Because they were consistent. We're machmir on both ends. We start Shabbos early because we're machmir for the Gaonim, but we end Shabbos late because we're machmir for Rabbeinu Tam. And it should start at 9:35, and it should end at 9:35. What Moshe Feinstein did was, Moshe Feinstein came along and said that the Zmanim that this Gemara mentioned, and that Rabbeinu Tam mentioned, that's only in Bavel and Eretz Yisrael, in that area, and only in the equinox. However, if it's not the equinox, the sun sets faster, and he had a whole complicated question, and basically he came up with a number that in America, or in the Northeast, you don't have to strictly adhere to the 72 minutes. You can make it a little earlier because it's the same thing as the 72 minutes. It's Rabbeinu Tam fit into America, fit into not the equinox, and therefore he came up with a standard number. I think it's 50 minutes. Which would mean that according to Ramosha, Tzeitz would be over at 9. Ramosha's interpretation of the Rabbeinu Tam, that Tzeitz would be at 9:13, which sounds normal. Think about 8:03 to 8:23. So that's 50 minutes later. It's going to be 9:13. That's basically bare bones how to reconcile the two Gemaras. We went into a little bit more detail in Shabbos. There's a lot of discussion about this. A lot of emotion about this, but this is basically in a nutshell. Okay, so that was the first. So now we can go back to the Gemara. So that was the first problem. That was the first question that we had on Rava. Rava said 6,000 parsa. It's obviously not true because he said 6,000 and 1,000. 6,000 and 1,000, and you see that's a ratio of 1/6, and you see from these Tanoim that it's really 1/10. So Rava's wrong. The Gemara is going to go again. The Gemara is going to drive home the point that Rava is not correct. Next one. Toshma. We have the following statement, which also is, okay, Mitzrayim, the country of Mitzrayim, Hayu Arba Amos Parsa al Arba Amos Parsa. Is the city of, the country of Mitzrayim is 400 Parsa by 400 Parsa. Umitzrayim, and Mitzrayim is Echad Mishishim Bekush. Is 1/60th the size of Kush. So if Mitzrayim is 400 by 400, and Kush is 60 times bigger than that, that's 400 by 400 times 60. We're already over 6,000 already. And the Kush, Echad Mishishim Be'olam. Kush is only 1/60th of the whole world. And Be'olam Echad Mishishim Began Eden. Began. And the world is 1/60th the size of Gan. The Gan, Echad Mishishim Be'eden. Gan, whatever that is, the garden, is 1/60th the size of Eden. And the Eden, Echad Mishishim Be'gehenim. Eden is 1/60th the size of Gehenim. Nimsa, so you see from all this, Kol Ha'olam Kulo, the whole world is Kikisoi Kedeiro L'Gehenim. The whole world is like a pot. It's like a cover, and Gehenim is the pot. Meaning, the pot, the cover obviously is small, can hold less, doesn't hold anything, than what the pot holds. So too, the whole world is nothing compared to the size of Gehenim. Right? Some people said that I know they asked Rav Avadi Yosef, he's in a tshuva, someone asked him, is Gan Eden in this world? No one ever found it. So he said, yes, it is in this. So they said, where is it? So he said, just like the Gemara says, that the Aron was able to, this is a little leap of faith, he said the Aron is, the Aron was, if you look at the dimensions of the Aron and the dimensions of the Kodesh Kedushim, the Aron didn't fit. It didn't fit in there. There wasn't enough room. And the answer is, it fit by a miracle. It somehow would fit in there. The dimensions, it doesn't fit. And we can't fit something that long into a space that short. It doesn't fit. So he said the same thing with Gan Eden. It's in the world somewhere. It somehow it fits in. Even though it's gigantic, it's bigger than the world, somehow it fits in. That's what he answered. Anyway, so what do you see from here? You see from here that if you want to talk about physical space, the world is much larger than 6,000 parsa. And then the Gemara says, you know what, Tiyufta? This Gemara over here, Rabbi Razma spoke about it once on Purim night. There's a B'nai Yisachar, what this means. the 400 by 400 Mitzrayim Kush. It's a whole long, I don't remember it, I just remember that he spoke about it. Toshma, next. Another question. So now we have two proofs that Rav is absolutely wrong from a physical point of view, putting aside all the spirituality. Two points he's wrong. The Gemara goes number three. Toshma. The Tana Debe Eliyahu. They taught in the yeshiva of Eliyahu. Rabbi Nassan Omer. Rabbi Nassan says, Kol Hayishav Kulo Tachas Kochav Echad Yoshev. This is already controversial. The whole world can fit under one star. The whole world can fit under one star. How do you know? Teidal, prove it to you. Shahare Adam Nosein Einav B'Kochav Echad. If a guy's standing over here in Woodmere, and he looks up and he sees one star, and he focuses on that one star the whole time, then, Holech L'Mizrach, Omed Kinegdo. If he starts walking east, and he looks up, he'll still see it. He'll still be there. La'arba ruchos, ha'olam. If he walks the span of the whole world, omid kinegdo, it's going to be right there on top of him. Right? It's going to be right there on top of him. Now, the mechlal, what do you see? The chol hayishuv kulo tachas kochav echad yoshev. The whole world fits under one star. Now, a person and the yishuv, Rashi explains, is obviously longer than 1,000 parsa. Obviously. That would mean, and if the whole yeshiva is under one star, and a person, let's say, can walk 1,000 parsa, that means there can only be 6 stars in the whole sky. Otherwise, how can more stars fit? If the whole world is under one star, the whole yeshiva is under one star, how could that fit? The whole thing doesn't make any sense. Therefore, to you, if the Rav is wrong. Now, the Rabbi Chanan says something fascinating. He says, now, regarding this, he says, "V'afal pi shehachozim b'kochavim shebizman hazeh midvarim hadvarim hamachishin." Even though obviously that's not true, the whole premise is not even true. You can't walk and be under one star, right? The Rabbi Nachman says something that you would all expect him to say. Ela anu mazhirin b'divrei rabbeinu kitziknam. We have to listen to the rabbis no matter what they said. V'lo lachor shel divrei zulasam. Don't think about it. Don't think that they're wrong. They're obviously not wrong. So the Maharal says something which makes a lot more sense. I mean, not a lot more sense. It's just he gives an explanation instead of just saying the Chacham are right. He says as follows: he says this Gemara means if you take the globe. This Gemara means that if you, and the next Gemara also, if you take the globe and make it flat, if you take the ball and you make it flat, and you're at one end and you're looking up at one star and you walk to the other end, yeah, it'll always be there. That's what it means. It's always going to be under you. That's the Gemara's question, but it's obviously impossible that the world can only be 6,000 parsa. So the Gemara says, you're right, tiyufta. That's what it means. Now the next one's going to be the same thing. You have to make the world flat. If you make the world flat, because it's assuming that the obviously when you walk, it's not true. The stars are not in the same place on the other side of the globe. So that's why you have to come onto this, without the Maharal, I don't know how you can understand this Gemara. You make the world flat.
As far as you can walk, the star is always going
to
be...
Right, but it says even if you walk arba, if you walk arba ruchos ha'olam.
That's as far as you can walk.
But it assumes you can go forever. So if you make the world flat, it makes a lot more sense. Okay, now the next one's going to be the same thing. So anyway, so what do you see? You see that obviously the world cannot be 6,000 parsa from a spatial point of view. It can't be, and tiyufta. Next, Toshma. Egla batzafon, the constellation of Egla, which is the Taurus, that's always in the south. That constellation is always only in the south, in the southern part of the sky. And, I'm sorry, the north. The Akrav and the Scorpio is Bedarum. That's always in the south. The Chol HaYishuv Kulo Eina Yoshev Elabein Agala LaAkrav. The whole Yishuv is only fits in between those two constellations. Not further south, not further north. The Chol HaYishuv Kulo and the whole Yishuv Eino hove elosho achas bayom. The whole yishuv only has existence from the sun for 1 hour. What does that mean? She'ein chama nifneses liyishuv, because the chama only appears for the yishuv elosho achas bayom, only for 1 hour. How? Teda, you know how that's true? Shebachamesh chama b'mizrach. In the 5th hour, the sun's in the east because it's before noon, and v'sheva chama b'mayruv. And in the 7th hour, it's already on the western side because it passed noon. So chatzi sheish v'chatzi sheva, half of the 6th and half of the 7th for that 1 hour. Chama omedes brosh kol adam. The sun is on top of the whole world. Again, the Maharal says, that assumes that noon takes place at the same time in the whole world, which is not true. So again, you have to make it into a flat. If you make the world flat, then it's true. It's one flat piece, and then the whole world has noon at the same time.
But that means that they think the civilized world is only in a small...
So Rashi says something about the Midbaros and the non-Yeshuvim. Rashi said something about that. This is even the article says it's a very difficult proof. Because, so what's the proof? So the proof is that the world only has the sun for 1 hour. Yet, we know that the sun's up in the sky for more than 1 hour. They're not denying what happens every single day. However, what does this 1 hour mean? So the Mefarshim explained, it means it's only up in the center of the sky for 1 hour. It's only up in the center of the sky for 1 hour. And we know, again, we know that you can walk at least 1,000 parsa. That's a normal distance of a yeshuv. And so what's happening the other 11 hours when the sun's shining? Where's it going? So obviously the world is bigger than 6,000 parsa. That's the proof. And you know what? The Gemara says to Yofta, you're right. Rav is wrong. It's the third time Rav is wrong. Right? The Gemara is driving home the point. Don't take Rav literally. Maybe all that, we started off with all that spirituality. Maybe that's what he really meant. It can't be physical. Toshma, another one. The Amr B'Yochanan Ben Zakkai. Ma tshuva hishivaso bas kol oso rasha. Oso rasha is referring to Nebuchadnezzar. He's going to make a statement about being compared to a god. And there's a baskel that's going to answer him. And that baskel is going to be a proof that Rav is wrong. Why? Because, B'Shah Sha'amar, when Nebuchadnezzar said, Ele al-Bamasi of Edma le'Elyon, I'm going to go up on high, I'm going to act Edma, I'm going to compare myself le'Elyon to a god. That's what I want to do, said Nebuchadnezzar. So Yatza Baskel, Baskel went out, Amran said, Rasha ben Rasha, Rasha, ben ben Oshel Nimrod HaRasha, descendant of Nimrod HaRasha, Shehimrod is called Olam Kulo, a lie. He got the whole world to rebel against me. B'malchuso, in my kingdom. B'kamashnosov shel Adam. How long does a person live? What's the average lifespan of a man? Shevim Shana, 70 years. V'mikvur Shimonim Shana, if he's super strong, 80 years. Shenemar, Yimei Shana, Thanabem Shevim Shana, V'mikvur Shimonim Shana. 70, 80 years is a normal time that a person spends on this world. Now, you want to climb to the heavens? You know how far that is? Min ha'aretz v'ad l'rikiyah is mahal l'chamesh me'al shana. From the Aretz to the Rekiah, it's 500 years. Min v'ogiv shol Rekiah mahalich hei me'o shana. And the thickness of the Rekiah, that itself is 500 years. And Rubain Rekiah mahalich hei me'o shana. And between each rung of the heavens, whatever that means, is another 500 years. Each one. V'chein bein kol Rekiah l'Rekiah. That's all. So you're gonna climb all that. You're only living 80 years. Rather, ach el sha'ol torid el yarkase bar. You know where you're going? You're going to the netherworld. That's where you're going to go. So what do you see? How could Rava say that the world is only 6,000 parsa? Here you see, it's just hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years long. It can't be 6,000 parsa. You know what? To Yofta, Rava's wrong. So we've proven Rava wrong many, many times. Okay, now the Gemara gets a little difficult. Tana Rabbanan. Chachmei Yisrael, Omrim, the Chachmei Yisrael said, Galgal Kavua. Okay, to understand this Gemara, the article has pictures of it. Somehow, there is something out in space called the circle of the zodiac. It's all the constellations that appear in a circular pattern. I don't know if scientifically this is true. I don't know. I'm not into zodiac. But somehow that the constellations, this is what's called the circle of the zodiac, all the constellations appear in a pattern. However, the Chachmei Yisrael said that circle, that ring, is kavua. That's permanent. However, umazalos chozrin. The constellations themselves move. They revolve. And each month, a different one appears in the sky. That's what the Chachmei Yisrael said. The Chachmei Umos HaOlam Omrim, and the Chachmei Umos HaOlam, they said, you know what? Galgal Choser, no. The ring is what moves, but Umazalos Kavuin, and the actual constellation themselves, those are stationary. I'm not exactly sure what this means. Not exactly sure. But this is something that's so I would only mention this if it were today. If this would be in the middle of July, I wouldn't mention this. But in the Yotzer of yesterday, which none of us here said, but in the Yotzer of yesterday, it says something. It says as follows: Tikeis galgal kavua, Hashem sets the permanent ring of the zodiac in place. Umazalos tzomchin, but the constellations revolve. It's one of the Yotzeris in Shacharis from yesterday. So obviously this is something that they really, really hold from. They really, really believe in this, that it's mentioned, they put a line in it in the Yotzer of the last day of Pesach, that this is something that we really, really believe. What exactly it means, I'm not exactly sure. It was a very, very complicated, basically it's the sun, by the way, the revolutions of the sun somehow are thrown into this mix. And that's why, and that's what they're arguing about also, how exactly the sun fits into the rotations of the zodiacs.
Right.
But then you could answer the question. Our perspective, right? It's our perspective. So, Amar Rebbe. Rebbe says, "Tshuva l'divrehem." You know, we're right. You know why? Because me'olam, it never happens. Lo matzino egla b'dom v'akav b'tzafon. It never happens that egla, the Taurus, is in the darom, and the Scorpio is in the tzafon. And if they're right, that it's the sphere of the constellations that revolve, then they should appear, they should move. But we know that there's never a time where those constellations are in different parts of the sky. Therefore, we must be right that it's the constellations that move and not the zodiac sphere itself. That's what they said. So, Maskev or Machar Yaakov, who said that that's right? Dilma, maybe, Kibbutzina Direchaya, it's the blade of a mill, inami or kitzinura didasha. It's the pivot of a door. What does that mean? That means you can move, you can hold on to the door and move the entire building, or you can hold on, you can leave the building in place and just move the door. It's all a matter of perspective. Same thing with a mill. The blade can run independently of what it's connected to, or. The entire mill can run and the blade doesn't move. It's all a matter of perspective. So, the answer is, who's to say that they're wrong? It could be that there are two things going on here. There are two movements. There's the sun, and it's like imagine two balls that are circling at the same time. So there's two things going on here, and that's why the constellations don't appear to us to be moving. It's not necessarily true that we're right. It's the best I could do. I just simply don't understand all the science behind this. If it's even accurate, and both are accurate, I don't know. But that's something. Basically, what's going on here is both revolutions are taking place. So it appears to us that the Akrav is never there, and the Taurus is never there. Not necessarily true. We're so right. That's what he says. Now we're going to see that they're going to actually agree that we're wrong. Fine. Next. Chachmei Yisrael Omrim, the Chachmei Yisrael say, Bayom Chama Mahalechas Lamata Min HaRakia, during the day, the Chama, the sun, appears below the Rakia, Ubalayla, and at night, Lamayla Min HaRakia. It goes above the Rakia. At night, when we're sleeping, so where's the sun? It's not on the other side of the world. It's above the Rakia, whatever that means. The Chachmei Umos HaOlam Omrim, they say, Bayom in the day chama mahaleches lamata min harakia, and the day the chama is below ubalayla lamata min harakia, and Amar Rebbe says nirin divrehen mi divreinu. They're right than us. You know why? Shebayom, because in the day over here mayonos tonanin, those springs are cool. Ubalayla, and at night, rochsin, they're boiling. Why? Because the sun is below the rakia, and it's warming up the water. Rashi says, that's why when you wake up early in the morning and you look at a river, there's mist coming up. Because it's the boiling of the sun. So Rashi says. And, what did Rebbe say? They're right. Because the whole machlokes, was he really mode that the chachmei umos ha'olam are right? Or was he just saying it just to say it? But not necessarily that it's really right. It's a whole machlokes. Again, I don't know physically. What we had this by Mayim Shalanu, right? That the water gets heated by the sun. So it's not easy to explain this. Next, Tanya, Reb Nosson Omer, Bimos Achama, during the winter, during the summer, Cham Mahaleches Begovah Shel HaRakia. The sun is very high up in the sky. Lefikach, therefore, Kol HaOlam Kulo Roseach. The whole world is very, very hot. That's why the summer's hot. Umayonos tonenos, but the springs are cool. B'moshagashamim, in the winter months, chamamahaleches b'shipule rikia, the sun is much lower below the rikia. Lefikach, therefore, kol olam kulo tzonein, the whole world is cool. This is the angle, that's right, they say that in the summer, the sun's further away. But the better angle, that's why it's hotter. And in the winter, it's the reverse. Umayonos rochsin, but those springs are very, very hot. Next, Tanar Abanan, we learned in the Braisa, Barbosh Shevilin Cham Mahaleches. There are four paths that the sun takes throughout the year. Nisan Iyar Fesivan. In Nisan Iyar and Sivan, Mahaleches Baharim, it passes over the mountains, Kedei Lefasher Es Hashalagin, to melt the snow. So the snow melts then. The Tamas of the El Mahaleches B'Yishuv, it goes in the inhabited areas, Kedei Lefasher Es HaPeiros, to help the Peiros grow. Tishrei Marcheshvan v'kitzlev mahaleches b'yamim, it goes into the oceans, k'dei liyavish et ha-naharos, to dry up the rivers, and teves shvad v'adar, in those 3 months, mahaleches b'midbar, it goes into the deserts, shlo liyavish et ha-zeroyim, so that the any vegetation, any plant life there, should not become dried up. I don't think this means that it's physically, that there's no sun anywhere else during these months, it's only there, I just think maybe it's more prominent. The best thing I could say, I might have said this once before, I heard this mashal, I think it was from Rabbi Foreman, that if a guy sits down to a piano, and he doesn't know how to play the piano, and he's just banging keys, it doesn't sound very nice. But if a guy knows how to play, and he sits down and he plays the piano, it sounds beautiful. What we're doing now is just banging keys. If we would actually know what we're doing and understand it all, it could sound beautiful. But we're just banging keys, it doesn't really sound that good. Just saying words. We don't really know the deepness of what this is saying. We just have faith that they're saying things that actually do make sense.
Probably all allegorical.
Right, it could be all allegorical, exactly. If it's all exactly. Okay, now we get back to Earth. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Me'askupa. So Rabbi Eliezer said that if you're standing, if you're just outside the threshold of the Azara, you're considered Derech Rechoka, you don't have to bring a Pesach Rishon, you bring a Pesach Sheni. V'afagafta Mati Ayel, you can just walk right in. The law I'm reading, we don't say like Kumail, come in, nu, come in. If you come in, you're not going to be there. We don't have to say that. Ivo Tanya Yehudi Orel Shlomo Onish Kares. If a Jew doesn't have a Bismillah, and they tell him, if you don't get a Bismillah, you're going to get Kares. So we do tell a Jew who doesn't have a Bismillah, go get yourself a Bismillah. We do say that. Tack him over here. We don't say come on in. Why do we let him stay there? And then it's okay. You can go pay Tachshani. Why? So Everybody says you get covered for that. So Amar Abaye says, you know why? Because Derech Rechoka L'Tahir, Vein Derech Rechoka L'Tamei. The heter, the out of Derech Rechoka applies to someone Tahir. It doesn't apply to somebody who's already Tamei. Meaning, if you're Derech Rechoka, if you're outside, you have an out. You don't have anything, you don't have to do anything to get yourself there. You're out, you're Pater. You bring a Pesach Sheni. But if you're Tamei, if your other problems with you, you have to do your best to try to get out of those problems. So you don't have a bris milah? Go get yourself a bris milah. That's not an out. The out is a derech rechoka. You don't have to do anything to go make sure you're in. You don't have a bris milah, so go get one. Rava Omar, Tanayi, no, it's a machlokes Tanayim. Why? The Tanya, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Nemar Richuk B'makom Pesach. It says Richuk over here by Fiderech Rechoka by Pesach. The Nemar Richuk B'makom Meiser. Now, Meiser Sheni is something that you have to eat in Yerushalayim. What if you're far away? So that you don't have to eat it in Yerushalayim. You can sell it, whatever. You can't eat it if you're outside of Yerushalayim. And it also does the word Rechuk over there. Ma Lahalim Chutz Lachilasso, just like by Meiser Sheni. What's called Rechuk? Outside of the city of Yerushalayim, not outside the Azara. Outside Yerushalayim. Afkan, here too, chutz lachilaso. It also means outside the city of Yerushalayim. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer, no. Rabbi Yossi, no, chutz lachilaso. No. You know what, he doesn't learn from Meister Sheni. You know what it means outside? Outside the place where you're going to make the Karban Pesach. Where is that? The Azara. So there's a machlokas. So Rashi explains, that machlokas might tie into what we would say to an Orel. Would we tell him, go get a bris milah or not? Because you see that there's different areas of how outside you can be. So he says, not so clear. But that, certainly if you're a derech rechoka, we wouldn't have to tell you, come on in. You're out, that's all. Right. No, because you can't check if you can't eat. Remember we said
right,
that.
Right, but in theory, right,
his
problem is that he can't eat.
Right, not that he can't, exactly. Who does it go like what he said that b'tameim halach achah harov ha'omdim be'azara. When we're trying to determine is rov of the country, rov of the Jews, are they tamei or not? We only count those people that are inside the azara. Who's that? It's very simple. Come on, Kribiyosi, Rabbi Yehuda, Shomer, Mishum, Rabbi Lazar. We only count people that are in the Azara. If they're not in the Azara, they're considered out. They're not in the equation. Now, Amar Lo Rabbi Yosi Lefikach, he said that's why there's a dot on the hay in the word Rechoka. Meaning to tell you, it's not so far away. Don't think it's so far away. We're lessening the distance here. Now, Tanya Rabbi Yosi Aglili Omer, Derech, Shemei Ani Mahalech Shnaim O Shlosh Yom. I would think it's 2 or 3 days away, far away. Kishu Omer Uber Derech Lohaya, Magid Shemei Askupas Hazara Vechutz, Pari Derech. So you see from here, no, even if you're outside the Azara, that's already also considered to be far away. Like I said again, this daf certainly needs more review, and anyone has time tonight, they can review it all, and tomorrow we'll start from the new Mishnah on Tadakei Amud Aleph.